What's up, beautiful people, and welcome to Inside Out Empowerment, where we are examining the science of personal excellence through the very real experience of today's most powerful thinkers, professional athletes, and the world's greatest entrepreneurs. We learn the mechanisms for designing the life and the results of our dreams, starting from the inside out. I'm entrepreneur Joshua Nussbaum and your host. Just watch me now.
How did you get started in entrepreneurship?
Let's see. You know, when I was a kid, I messed around with like silly businesses. I think, you know, entrepreneurship is really a fancy word for solving problems and making money for it, right? I mean, I feel like you're an entrepreneur or you're not an entrepreneur. And, you know, yeah, you can be really good at something, you can develop skill sets, but you know, if you're a problem solver or you look at something and think about ways to improve it or buck the system or be bigger or better than your circumstance, you're an entrepreneur. So getting started with entrepreneurship, I think I've always been an entrepreneur. That being said, I presume you know you're talking about the making money with it part or real money with it part. And you know, while I was a little kid and I was, you know, trading Marvel comic cards, actually, because I was into like X-Men when I was like 9 or whatever. And the first time I was able to get like a permit at 10 to move from, you know, washing the windows at my local card shop in exchange for packs of cards that I would then go sell to my friends and actually start making money, I was just like completely addicted and was wanting to. I was spending 100% of my money. I was 9 years old, or I had just turned 10. I started working at the card shop when I was 8. I evolved from washing the windows in exchange for free packs of Superman cards or, you know, whatever deck I was collecting at the time to actually being able to get paid. And I would spend all of my money that I would get from my paycheck on cards at the shop. So this guy freaking loved me. And then I would take those cards and give them to 3 of my friends. I was calling them at the time. They were really, you know, my first employees, I think. And they were selling the cards to other people at different schools or in different grades than us. And they would come back and, you know, for every, you know, 10 bucks that they sold or every pack of cards that they sold, they would get to keep $2. So I was taking the, whatever it was, like $2 an hour yeah. I was making. And you know, I was only doing that to be able to buy enough cards so that while I was working, I was having 3 other people working for me at the same time, you know, and making an 80% ROI on the baseball cards. So obviously it's a very simplistic business model. But, you know, that being said, I think that was my real first brush with entrepreneurship. Needless to say, I didn't register that company and file my taxes properly. And that enterprise has since been shut down. My first business that's still running now, I guess you could say I started in 2009 when I was a senior in college at San Diego State as an entrepreneurship project.
That's actually crazy, man. My first entrepreneurial interest as well was selling Magic the Gathering cards. I was really into that. I'd get them, I'd give them to my friends to sell, they'd distribute the cards, and I'd see they were my good friends, so I kept all of the profits, and they didn't have a problem with that for the first few weeks, and then they saw how much money I was bringing in, and then I had to, you know, pay a few dividends. But that's really fun. I've known a few people who actually gotten their, you know, start selling baseball cards and trading cards.
That's really funny because I said that originally being like, dude, this guy's going to have no fucking clue what I'm talking about because I don't think Marvel trading cards have been a thing for, you know, like 15 years or whatever. But it's funny. That's right in the same vein. I mean, trading cards, yeah. Who would have thought?
I want to then move into when you were in school, how were you as a student? I know lots of people who are quote unquote entrepreneurs somewhat struggle with school, I would say, you know, hard to keep focused on school when you have 20,000 ideas running through your head every single day. So how was that for you?
I mean, I've always been a smart guy. I don't think that school played to my strengths. I think fundamentally at my core, I was, you know, not connected to purpose. You know, and I think when people are vision driven, the amount that they can accomplish when they're super, super attached to a clear vision of what they want, and B, a deep connection to why they want it, the actions become automatic, right? Because doing stuff, the doingness part of it, is ingrained in who and what you are. It's ingrained in your belief system, in your desires. And you know, when you engage your visceral tendencies, just as us being evolved monkeys, you know, when you make a thing your life and you develop an obsession, which I've, you know, recorded a really great podcast on why obsession beats balance and why you should aim to be obsessed over, you know, what you're trying to progress in life instead of being like equally allocated in all different areas of life, which is, I think, an undersung hero of entrepreneurship, is your ability to just fully be enraptured in what you're doing. It's not really a popular viewpoint to be like, yes, aim for obsession as opposed to well-roundedness. You know, people are like, yeah, work-life, yeah, balance. I say, fuck that. You know, I think I wasn't connected to purpose. I didn't have, and I think that part is a common theme. In addition to not really being connected to a purpose, I think as a kid, it's become very popular to be like, you don't need school. You know, school is overrated. Like, look, I agree with, you know, the underlying principle of why people are saying a lot of that, and how we've moved to a society that glorifies entrepreneurship, and you know, it tips the hat to the guy that starts something or innovates something. You know, I look at my employees and I couldn't fucking do what I do if I didn't have people that were infinitely better than me at their piece of the puzzle than I am around me constantly. That being said, I think, you know, entrepreneurship, you get to play to your strengths. And I think that in school, it fits people in a box. And I almost think that they are inversely correlated to a certain degree. So it's not like just directly inversely correlated or perfectly inversely correlated. So it doesn't mean like you do well in school, you're going to be a bad entrepreneur. And if you suck at school, you're going to be a good entrepreneur, because it obviously depends what the reasoning is behind each one of those things. Yeah, I was able to function in school. I was able to do well. I was able to get into a college, even though I only applied to one and didn't even know if I wanted to go to college because I fucking hated school that bad. But I didn't really have a huge desire to succeed, and getting me to sit still was painstaking. And then on top of that, you know, I'm by nature a very like precocious, rambunctious, sarcastic, social human being. And when you put 16, 17 year old version of me into a classroom for 8 hours a day, needless to say, my disciplinary track record,
I can only imagine,
wasn't fantastic. I mean, look, when it clicked for me, like I kind of wish, I used to listen to Wayne Dyer a lot, and he used to say he was no ready for college. He you know, almost dropped out of high school, ended up getting his GED, enrolling in the military, right? He started college at 26, and he ended up being, you know, 12-time best-selling author and just an amazingly successful guy. He got his PhD after college, got his master's and then his PhD, and then was a writer, speaker, you know, seminar, entrepreneur, informational product gangster. And he was a buddy of mine, and we used to go to Maui. I was a huge fan of his, and then I met him while I was on a run one time in Hawaii. I think I was 16 years old, and I stopped him like, "Holy shit, you're Wayne Dyer." And he goes, "Holy shit, I am." And we became buddies. And then every year I would like go run over to his hotel when I was doing my cardio and visit with him. And he said, "I was no more ready for college at 18 years old than I was in preschool." And he's obviously a guy that became very scholastically successful. So I got a college degree. I did that whole thing. And while I don't think that it prepared me any better for entrepreneurship or for life, and I got a degree in business management and then went like directly into managing a business, you know, so, and it's still like, I felt zero more prepared when I got into the real world about how to deal with lawsuits, how to outcreate a problem, how to, you know, hold the line when the whole world is against you, but internally, you know, that something is right. Like, you know, how to fact find and do market research. I mean, the fact that I had a little bit of like human resource vocabulary or had some like fundamental like finance and accounting skills was absolutely insufficient for running a successful business. I feel like if you're starting before college, during college, or after college, no matter when you start, it's still going to be a trial by fire, and you're going to fuck up a ton, and you're going to learn the lessons by doing, not by studying.
Yeah. The only way to really learn is to get out there and solve the problems yourself.
Yeah, I mean, that being said, and I just want to say this caveat, because I know that I have a lot of young listeners and I don't feel totally great just toting the party line of like, go fucking drop out of school right now. I think if I were to be a kid again, I probably would not have gone to college right off the bat, and I would have started doing earlier than I did, even though I already got an early start. But the only reason why is because if I were to go back and do college now, not as a kid, I think this experience would be way more valuable to me because I like learning so much better and I know myself so much better. I know how I like to learn. Like if I'm really, really shitty at something, I don't try to force my round peg into a square hole unless it's at the Alpha Phi House during sorority rush week. Heyo. Not that their holes are square.
Another question, last one about college. Did you think you went to college for yourself, or, you know, so many people go just because either A, they don't have a plan B, it's just they're doing it out of no other options, or B, just doing it because they don't want to disappoint their parents, their aunts, their uncles, their friends' parents? Or did any of that sort of come into effect with you, or did you take yourself to college?
I was actually in Israel in basic training in the Israeli army after high school and wasn't going to apply to college. And my dad's like, please, please, please. You know, I grew up with my mom and she's like, whatever, honey, follow your heart. I love you. You know, she's a super overbearing, neurotic, loving, smothering Jewish mother who, like, in her eyes, I can do no wrong type thing. And if everybody wanted to, like, I'm a very polarizing personality type, right? I'm very boisterous with like my opinionated nature. And she's just like, if everyone was happy walking around naked, I say, fuck it, let them walk around naked. You know, so I didn't really get the guidance from my mom and from my dad. I wasn't really involved much with him growing up. So I was like steering my own ship. And it's really fucking scary because I feel like hormonal teenagers are A, some of the most like emotionally volatile people who are like hormonal and very opinionated. They say, if you ever need to learn something, just ask a teenager. No offense. At that time, it's like, dude, I never felt like, holy shit, I am like, I know the answers to fucking everything as when I was like 18 years old, you know? I've always been an odd duck. I'd look at the world and be like, this is what's wrong with this. This is what's wrong with that. This is so much better of a way of doing this, whatever. And there's nobody more ill-equipped than an 18-year-old guy that knows everything. I'm a billion times more capable, wealthy, connected, established now than I was when I was 18. And if someone were to talk to me and just communicate right now versus when I was 18, I would hear infinitely more now of what they're communicating and what they're not communicating, as opposed to when I was a kid and I was just, you know, rapid fire. People think I have a mouthpiece and that's my strongest asset as a communicator or as a speaker or a sales guy. And it's actually not. I mean, my strongest asset is my talent for listening, contrary to popular belief. It's, you know, I'm talking a lot now, but you know, how many questions did I ask, you know, prior to getting on this interview with you, right? I was assessing the direction so that when you do speak and you do go do, you're way more effective in what you're doing and your efforts are not wasted because you're like a sniper instead of, you know, the younger me, which was a little bit more like a machine gun. You know, that being said, I think college is valuable. I applied for my dad to answer your question, but once I came back and got out of the frustration of, you know, Israel's situation, and I was like very like politically caught up in the rah-rah nationalism of Israel being a small state that's like surrounded by 13 Arab countries, all of whom are hostile, I got into the flow of college. And while I wasn't good at the school part, I think college is valuable. And I started to do it for me as like an exploratory process, kind of this discovering what I was good at and what I wasn't good at.
That's good to hear. I mean, I know so many people who just go to college, not for any reason at all, just because, you know, that's what they've been led to believe. And I mean, well, that's not bad because, you know, many people do learn what they want to do and learn who they are in college. You know, if that's not you, you're going to a school, you know, racking up thousands and thousands of dollars of debt. And then you come out, you know, none the wiser.
I was the only one of my friends throughout high school and my first years of college that like didn't smoke weed. So money, surprisingly, actually wasn't really a problem because the best dealers in the world are the guys that don't smoke it. And when I kind of discovered that, I covered tuition and then some sophomore year in high school through sophomore year of college with supplying my friends' drug habits. Not something I'm proud of, but I was fortunate enough to not have the same financial burden in the beginning of college that I think most adjusting young students have.
All right. Now, I sort of want to transition to the business side of this. So your current project is Rev Labs. You've started this supplement company, and you know, I'm checking out your personal Instagram and that company's Instagram. You've built an incredibly large following. How would you say that's affected your business? Such a large social media presence.
Yeah. So the bottom line is the bottom line. Have you ever heard that saying?
So it's not like
if it makes dollars, it makes sense. Right. So like at the end of the day, you know, I tell my employees, I'm like, look, there's a reason that a P&L and a balance sheet and financial reporting is done in black and white on a spreadsheet in an auditable format. And it's because when push comes to shove, the result is all that matters in one sense of the meaning. So there's no explanation, right? Like if you don't pay rent, you can't go to SDG&E or your landlord and tell them a story about how your dog got, you know, the measles from, you know, an STD that he got in Mexico 6 months prior and then ended up eating your homework that you didn't do. Like there's a certain just a responsibility for the result when you're an owner and there's not somebody behind you. You know, when you're talking to your investors or your landlord or, you know, the gas and electric company, there's no backstop, right? Like you're doing something you want to do or don't want to do. And you have like your parents to fucking talk shit to or to agree with or disagree with or your teachers or your boss or, you know, one of a million like quote unquote authority figures. And we glorify being the head of an organization. But what you realize as you climb the ranks is there's nobody above you going, attaboy, good job. This is the place to go. This is the way to handle this. Like you're on your own judging not just your own actions, but the actions of, you know, in my case, 67 fucking employees in just in Rev Labs, right?
Yeah.
And if I make the wrong decisions and position myself improperly and like run the company into the ground, their kids that, you know, and they're like three times my age, a lot of them, aren't going to have food to eat and they're going to have to go, you know, get a new job at, you know, 50 years old or whatever it is. So, you know, in a world, a business world where the bottom line is the bottom line and, you know, dollars are all that matter as far as like meeting your requirements and your responsibilities and your deadlines, social media was kind of my first real outlet to be able to exemplify and expand upon what I do the best, which is communicating and empowering other people around me. So people think that success is like, I'm so good, I'm so good, I'm so good. When really, especially the more successful the person is, their mindset is more, you are so good because. And even if they're being critical, they're looking around at people and constructively criticizing them for the purpose of empowering them or giving them insight because they have perspective that, you know, the other person might not have as to how the fuck they can better themselves. And I've always been very, very good at that, especially because it comes from a benevolent place, right? I've never been a guy that just belittles people or feels good about making people feel bad. I didn't really have a way to do that publicly. You know, I would do it with my kid and with like my relationships and my friends, if my friends wanted to hear it, which a lot of the time they did and a lot of the time they didn't. And I would do it with my employees, but I didn't really have a way to reach out and touch the public, right? It was just like, these are my businesses. And when I transitioned from my real estate investment company and loss recovery services, which is my insurance business, and kind of went through a difficult personal challenge and a period of life where I just, you know, my world was spinning a little bit and I had like a quarter life crisis at 24. Rev Labs, you know, I started my Instagram account like 3 weeks after founding Rev Labs. I quit my two companies and gave up my ocean view to go sit in a 10 foot by 10 foot office with four white walls. I was stealing Wi-Fi from the guy next door and had like a computer and a cell phone and that was it and started freaking Googling YouTube videos on how to internet market, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
one of the first things that I did is like, you know, the power of Facebook. So I started Facebook advertising. If the question is Instagram or the question is social media, those are two different answers. Because I started a Facebook account, or I started Facebook ads, you know, like the second day of my business. I started an Instagram account, I don't know, within a month, within a few weeks, you know, of starting the company. I started a Twitter, a Facebook, and an Instagram, and I started my Facebook ad account. And Facebook actually originally is what I was getting the most conversions on, but it was a way for me as the business to like reach out to individuals and take my skill set and just throw it out there in a wide net. And the people that liked the inspiration, that liked the motivation, I was just doing my fucking thing and letting my audience come to me, right? I was just saying like, hey, this is what I believe. It's like, you know, when you're like at an orientation or something, and you're like walking down like, you know, freshman way, you know, starting college or whatever. And there's like, hey, if you're Asian, come over here. Hey, if you like breakdancing, come over here. Hey, if you are interested in, you know, business or cheerleading, come over here. And there's like a bunch of like different tables. This is like kind of the inverse of that, right? So I was the guy being like, hey, this is the way that I think. You know, I want people to be better versions of themselves. I'm a 24-year-old millionaire that's miserable. You know, I just went through a pretty egregious personal failure. You know, I'm freshly fucking divorced, and I am forcing myself to quit my two companies to focus on what I'm passionate about because, you know, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die for real, right? You know, like I'm going to jump out of a plane, skydive, and my parachute's not going to open. I'm going to be, you know, driving and be texting and drive onto a train track and a train is going to hit me. But if I'm still alive and I'm still breathing, I'm not going to be one of those fucking people that die 50 years before their body stops breathing. You know, I see people that even in their, you know, mid 20s that just, they have no purpose. They have no direction. They have no desire. And they're just like following that track and running that freaking rat race. And
yeah, I totally.
So I started Rev Labs at a time, and my social media for that matter, at a time when I was bucking the system really hard and when I was going against the grain, saying, you know what, life, I understand this is the way you do things. And you say reality is like this. And you know what, life, I'm telling you, you're fucking wrong. This is how reality is. Everybody that agrees with me, click that fucking follow button, click that like button, whatever. And I just started to kind of like, I don't want to say magnetically, but I don't really know a better word for it. I just started to attract like-minded people. And the selling of supplements was actually secondary to being like, hey, I want to create a fucking movement that's dedicated to relentless progress. Hey, all of you motherfuckers that just have a sense that there's more to get out of life than what you're getting, follow me. Not because I'm a guru. Not because I'm a guru, but I just straight up, like I've produced fucking awesome results. And I've been a meathead since I was a, you know, junior Olympic athlete in high school. And I've been doing judo and jiu-jitsu since I was a kid and, you know, captain of my hockey team and you know, all this different stuff. Mm-hmm. Like through what I had been through to like be where I was at 24 years old, I'm like, look, I know certain things. I love fitness. So it's a thing that I know very well. Let me just help you get results. And then I'm going to secondarily figure out how to make money at it. So what are you guys struggling with? And if you fundamentally are fucking behind me, like me, follow me, tell me your struggles, agree with me, disagree with me publicly. You won't get banned. You won't get blocked. Let's fucking do this.
That's a great business model. I mean, so many businesses, you know, are predicated on the opposite of yours, which is, you know, find customers to sell products to and then, you know, recruit them to your movement. But, you know, and that's ultimately why all of those businesses fail. And
well,
I
Ty, that's why I said that you said, what was the main like impact of social media on your business? And I was, that's why I like illustrated the point and started by saying, I was always like, you know, your bottom line is your bottom line. And if it makes dollars, it makes sense. And when I started Rev Labs and my social media, the whole concept of me starting my social way the fuck before this shit was popular, like way before, you know, grandparents knew what the fuck Snapchat was. The fact that a grandmother like logs onto Facebook and like reads an article is like lunacy compared to like the fact that like when I was starting my Instagram, you know, my dad didn't have a Facebook. You know what I mean? Like the fact that like grandparents are now logging on to like or know what Snapchat is, like the world was a different place. And this was the first time I was just like, I just went on a 10-day drinking bender and then quit my two profitable companies. And, you know, just I had a brother that passed away and, you know, a failed marriage, and I'm a single fucking dad, and his mom's in rehab, and I've never been more lost. So I'm either going to get so fucking hell-bent and focused on not the bottom line, but on my life's direction, and I'm just going to burn the fire so fucking bright that I'm going to be able to see my way through this darkness, or I'm probably just going to become self-destructive and either on purpose or on accident end up fucking committing suicide. So it was just like, I'm a polarizing guy. And when I'm like very positive and driven, which I am 99% of the time, people tend to follow. But I also know about myself, like if I'm like, you know, drinking or partying or lost or depressed or whatever, just on a bad path in any direction, you know, a gun is only as good or as bad as the person using it and what they're using it for. And I think especially the more horsepower you have, aiming yourself in the right direction is important, because those people that have the capacity to be wild creators also have the capacity to be incredibly self-destructive.
You talked about a, you know, tunnel vision a bit earlier and why that was so important. And, you know, with your really diverse background with, you know, insurance, selling, all this sort of thing, how do you think tunnel vision has helped you through all of that? How do you think like being able to really, you know, mentally just tell yourself like, no, I'm not going to focus on these other thoughts right now. Like I'm going all in on this, you know, one project. Like how has that benefited you so far?
Good question. I don't think it's just benefited me. I think it's the sole biggest contributor to my or anybody's in history that has discovered or developed something of wild value compared to like anything else of like my sales ability or like numbers or intelligence or whatever. Like none of that holds a fucking candle. I would say that anybody that set out to accomplish something great and did, right? So it wasn't just like discovered by accident, like some freak of nature, random, like I'm just going to throw my last $8 into the stock market and then, you know, buy a lottery ticket. Those things don't really count. I think every one of them have had to have a really crazy degree of obsession. And I think the reason that obsession is like such or tunnel vision or putting your horse blinders on is such a fucking insanely integral piece of being a productive baller motherfucker is very simply, look, it's as simple as this. And I've said this so many times. Either you go into agreement with reality as it is around you, or you are stubborn and focused and hardworking enough to make reality, the things around you, come into agreement with you. And you do not have the capacity to change the world around you without focusing, instead of on the world around you, focusing on the world as you see it in your imagination. So, you know, bringing anything that is, any action that's ever been taken, right? Like any result that's ever been produced was first predicated in a thought process or an imagination of somebody somewhere, right? So you have your inner world, which are your thoughts. And then you have your outer world, which are like your things, your people, your circumstances, your situation, your money, your whatever. And when your inner world and your outer world are different, it's because there's not enough action. You know, the bridge between your inner world and your outer world is action. And, you know, a lot of people don't even have an inner world that says, this is what I want. This is what I'm committed to creating. This is where I'm going. This is why I want it. This is what I'm doing, what I'm committed to, who I am. And without that piece of it, it's really, really hard, even if you know what to do, which 99% of people don't, including myself in many, many circumstances. Even if you know what to do, the amount of effort it requires to go do the shit that it actually requires, where you're fucking DMing and private messaging people, not knowing if it's the right fucking thing for 15 hours a day for 3 years. Look, I didn't take a fucking day off work 7 days a week. Most of the time I worked 100% of the time my eyes were open for my entire 20s. I used to watch Steve Jobs' commencement speech to Stanford. I used to be able to recite all like 13 minutes of it by heart, but I loved it because he was a college dropout who ended up, you know, being one of the most revolutionary thinkers of all time. And I used to watch it every day. I used to wake up in the morning when I was starting my first business in college, when I was just crazy, freaking overwhelmed. and starting my first business, I would watch that because it inspired the shit out of me. And I'm a huge proponent of like finding people that are smarter than you and who have accomplished what you want to accomplish and just getting them around you and in your psyche as much as humanly possible. Cause that shit, it's, you know, contagious. It rubs off. So anyway, you know, Steve Jobs was like, you know, stay hungry, stay foolish. Like the world will get behind you or it won't. I think to be obsessive over something, to do what I've done with consistency, obsession leads to actions. It's motivating. It makes you driven enough to do the things you need to do to have the things around you that you want to have. So my have was very, very clear of like what my finish line looked like, what my goals were. At least it became clear. And the more clear and the more connected I was to it, the more the action steps of like, I don't know what to do in order to accomplish this. Like the do is so much less important. And if your B, your internal landscape, your inner world is obsessive and clear and driven, and you're clear on what you want to have, the action piece becomes automatic. So that's kind of my very long, short question, long answer. I apologize, but you're asking me things that I have opinions about, you know?
Yeah. Let me ask you something regarding social media. You've built this multiple very, very large accounts, not just Instagram, Facebook. You said originally predicated on Facebook ads, but so much has changed. You know, Facebook is constantly changing, you know, their algorithms, how they do things. Instagram's changing their algorithms. So like if I wanted to create more brand awareness right now, if I were going to leave this podcast and go on my phone and, you know, try to get 50 new listeners for this podcast, you know, how would you say I should do that?
All right. Do you have a pen handy?
Yes.
All right. I want you to write down what I'm about to tell you. And it literally is
okay.
not painted, but it's like a mural on one of my walls because I said it so many fucking times in my RevLabs fulfillment center when we were starting that literally my fulfillment director who used to run Reebok worldwide as a joke, literally like had an artist come in and write it on the wall in our fulfillment center. That's like, you know, 6,000 square feet of warehouse here in San Diego. It's one of a few that we have, but it was our first one, right? So 6,000 square feet when I was just starting was like a mass commitment that I had no idea how I was going to pay for. Here's this sentence. It's three words. Outflow equals inflow. So if you wanted 50 new listeners to your podcast, I mean, like, are you asking me specifically or like conceptually? Because if you're asking me specifically, I could tell you, like, if that's your problem or your goal, that's your have, that's what you want to have out of, you know, the prompt and the question, dude, I could solve that small of a have without exaggeration. I could probably give you 10 ways off the top of my head to gain 50 listeners to your podcast in the next week. Like no fucking question. If you want like the principle behind the tactic, you tell me, do you want me to answer it principally or do you want me to answer it?
Yeah, I think I want the principle behind it, you know, so someone could be able to apply this, not just in their podcast if they wanted to start one, but you know, yeah, with their new clothing company or
100%. So look, if your goal, the subject matter is under brand awareness, right? Or for that matter, you have any measurable result, which by the way, great job in giving me the question in a way that I told you before we got on this call, I want it to be like specific. Well, with goal setting, which you just did, the end result has to be measurable. You know, the specificity and the focus of it is infinitely more important than how you're going to get there. Okay. So number one, I would make it very specific. Number two, I would write down what my goal is. 50 followers or whatever the fuck it is, listeners, subscribers, you know, I want to have two threesomes by the time I graduate high school, whatever the fuck your goal is, write it down and make it clear, you know? And I'm like, okay, so like they can be rhinoceroses or they can be like your left hand and your right hand or like, you know, really explain to me what that looks like, right? So I would, number one is I would get clear on it fundamentally until there's like no questions about like what the end result is. And then number two is I would implement, so that's your destination, right? That's your GPS. If you tell your subconscious mind and your conscious mind and the world, this is what I'm committed to creating, the do starts to have. And then I would say to do what I did by going to college when I really had no fucking idea what I wanted to do, because it was predicated on the concept that a wrong decision is infinitely more right than indecision. So I would not get caught up in what I go and do so much as I would choose something and then go for it. And then knowing the principle, Young Tai, that outflow equals inflow, and what you want is inflow, right? What you want is a certain amount of stuff in from outside of you, which is people that are not you coming into your world and subscribing to your podcast. You know what that requires? A shit ton of outflow. So I would get real fucking busy. I would decide what I want, and then I would not systematically, but just very actively, especially if I'm in the beginning and I don't have the tactics down yet, I would just start doing. I would start outflowing. I would literally, dude, when I was starting Rev Labs, like, you know, I have on my wrist right now a thing. It was like one of the first bracelets I ever made. It says hashtag Team Rev Labs, and it's like a Rev Labs like wristband type thing. Dude, I would be enrolling everybody in my vision. And they're like, dude, I don't even know what the fuck your company is or what it does. Like, I literally don't know the purpose, but I'm fucking sold, right? Because my beingness was there. If someone was like, hey, how the fuck do I do that? How do I enroll the cashier at Vaughn's, you know, into my vision for what I want for Rev Labs? I'm like, dude, I don't know, but my have is clear. I know what I want to create, and my beingness is clear. It just like oozes out of my pores. So the doing happens automatically. So you have the have. And then your beingness is based on, why do you want that? So whether it's a t-shirt company or whether it's a whatever, is your fundamental thing, how do I make money? That's what I want to do. It's just because I want to make money. Or is there another principle? And making money, by the way, is not bad. I love money. And people say money doesn't buy happiness, but it sure doesn't fucking hurt it either. You know what I mean? And not to mention, it empowers you to be able to have enough space and freedom to make the decisions that can create happiness and that can guide you in the direction of being empowered enough to do the things that fulfill you, instead of being so hand to mouth that you have no freedom to maneuver. So look, if I was in your position, Tai, I would decide, I would ask myself, why do I want 50 followers? So answer me that. Why do you want that goal personally?
I think I first want to, you know, create awareness and help people who, you know, have goals and have things they want to accomplish but don't know how. I want to, you know, get them, you know, I don't necessarily think I need to get them from A to Z, but I, you know, I want to help them get started, because there are so many obstacles now, especially with social media. People feel like they need to be, you know, creating pages and getting influencers, and it can be very overwhelming. I want to help little Julie, who started making t-shirts. I want to get her from A to B, and then give her the tools to get from B to Z.
Beautiful. Personally, you are a sophomore after my own heart. I can identify with that feeling very much. I'm committed to elevating the consciousness of humanity. And my podcast is called Inside Out Empowerment. It's like cultivating the fundamental skill sets and qualities necessary internally to be able to go out, inside out, in an empowered way to go do whatever the fuck you want to do in life. I'm not here to tell people what to want. I'm just here to help them get whatever that is. So you and I, brother, are brothers in arms. You know, we're on a very similar mission. So I would ask, you know, why do you want to empower people? My answer, just to short circuit this discussion from being like, you know, a 3-hour consultation, is because I think that's the most fulfilling piece in life. I think that the one true sign of life is growth. And once you get to a certain level of growth internally, it's very difficult to continue to push yourself in continuing to grow once you've hit a certain amount of success without turning around and helping other people to grow. So I think it's the fundamental purpose of life is to expand. And then number two, from a selfish standpoint, you know, there's a reason that like the 12th step of AA, say, you know, recovery programs for people that want to stop drinking, is to help another alcoholic and like give the program back to somebody. Now, I haven't done the 12th step of AA, but I imagine that principle is predicated on the fact that your growth at past a certain point will be stunted if you are not part of the giving, if you are not part of the contribution. And the amount you tie at fucking 16, Jesus Christ, you're ahead of where I was, you know, yes, I was prom king and fucking, you know, good at you know, sports and funny and, you know, did fine in school and whatever the hell. Like, I had my own accolades at 16, but like, to be in the, if I was in the position you are in, like, you are so infinitely wiser than I was, because I thought I had the answers instead of being in a position like I am now to want to seek the questions in order to be able to get other people to just fuck me up with some truth. Two ears and one mouth for a reason, my dude. And you are very much on the right path. So back to the original question of what would I do? I would acknowledge the fact that my goal is clear. And my reason for that goal is clear. And I would say, I think that this is a thing that fulfills me. And it makes me feel fucking good. And I'm a person that stands for doing the things that better me and that better other people. And I fucking am a guy that wants to live a fulfilled life. So I'm going to make this goal, my live, eat, breathe, sleep, and fuck to 50 subscribers in my brain until 50 subscribers have come into reality. You okay. Asked what I would do, and I've answered the have, and I've answered the be, and I haven't really spoken to the do, and I'm being obnoxious about it because the do is the least important part. If you want the tactical approach, here's what the fuck I would do. I would get clear on my mission in three sentences, and I would write it the fuck down. And then I would go out into the world of magical DM land, and I would search a hashtag or an influencer that you want to be like. Podcaster. I don't know. Pick a fucking podcaster that's ahead of you in the world. I don't know. Maybe someone in the top 20, you know, iTunes slots. I don't know. I'm just fucking throwing ideas out here, right? And I would go to people that follow them. Or better yet, you know, I would go to these places, and I differ from Gary Vee a little bit on this point. So he says to go and engage with those people that have tagged podcasting. I disagree. You know what I would do if I wanted to be like Joshua Nussbaum, or I wanted to be like Gary Vaynerchuk, or I wanted to be like fucking whatever, like magical ice skater or magician or, you know, fucking unicorn enthusiast or whatever the fuck the thing is. I wouldn't go hit up that company or that person or that figure. If I wanted them, a big reason you want to be them, and I would hit them up to mentor me and to teach me and to guide me. But I wouldn't go and talk to them on social media and ask them to subscribe. What I would do is reach out to their followers that comment on their posts and be like, Gary Vee, you're so sick. Josh, I loved how you were talking about obsession or be, do, have, or getting clear on what you want, or goal setting, or that funny ass story about when you were in India and blah, 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 you know? And I would start reaching out to the people that are saying those things on my posts or on someone's posts and be like, I know this guy is fucking sick, right? He's one of my mentors. You know what I love about him? I love that he blah, blah, blah. And actually, it's my mission in life to blah and put those three sentences in, less if it's on an Instagram comment, obviously. And see what they say. And when they respond, and do not spam. Do not spam your link. Just go and reach out and touch. Outflow, 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 outflow. And I swear to God to you, the amount of inflow that comes from a source that is not a direct contribution or response to something that you have outflowed is going to be 10 fucking X, whatever the fuck it is, to your direct outflow, because that's the way the fucking universe works. You outflow and then shit inflows. The irony is it doesn't inflow directly from the direction that you're outflowing. So what will happen is like, I don't know. I fucking signed up and did my first post on Reddit, like Carry the Five, 5 days ago. And look what the fuck we're doing now, 3 days later.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Because like Reddit was going to be my new thing. No, I was just this new Instagram algorithm. I'm like, okay, this thing is frustrating me. What do I do when things are frustrating me? I outcreate it and I create a solution. So I got good at the 2018 algorithm. I did a podcast and a YouTube video on social media, how to win at social media, how to win at Instagram in 2018. And I can send you the podcast link or the show notes or whatever you need to like give you a million like tactical strategies. Fuck, you can repost it on your podcast if you want to. I don't care. Like, the shit is just out there to help people. If you want to add it to an encyclopedia for reference of some kind. And then I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? Because this is like frustrating me and kind of killing my soul a little bit to be grinding on Instagram and to be getting, you know, amongst my 5 million followers on, you know, these like Rev Labs related pages. And I'm getting 1/3 of the engagement that I got 3 years ago. I'm going to go switch and find another way to go out and produce and outflow. So I went and I found fucking Reddit, which I had never used in my life before. And I just started outflowing. And what the fuck happened? I got inflow. And I wasn't sitting there like swinging dick. I was just fucking communicating, just touching people, responding to people's fucking comments. And I have no idea how to use the platform yet. Just watch me. Dude, so 3 days ago, I had 4 karma points on Reddit. You know how many karma points I have right now?
How 70.
Like, I don't even know if that's good, but I've seen a lot of people that have been on there for 3 years and have fucking like, you know, 6 karma points. So dude, you start outflowing and you expect the inflow to come. So I'd go and I would DM people that follow podcasts that are similar to what you are wanting to be like. And then when you start to get a positive response, you say, you know, you could help, you know, it would mean so much to me. I'm a brand new podcaster and you're coming from a place of authenticity, not just plugging your shit. You're communicating your message and your purpose in life and your goals and the things that are important to you as a human being, because you care about living an empowered, happy, fulfilled life. And you say, look, if you want to support my vision, I would love if you could give this a listen and give me your honest feedback. If you like it, subscribe. And I don't know how I can contribute back to you or help you, but I'll owe you one. Or if you like what you hear, subscribe. And next time you need a favor or a couple of minutes of my time and I can help you in some way, you know, you have that token to pull with me. And I would do that.
Yeah, that's
I would do that
great.
For 3 hours a day for a week. And you will be at 300 followers, not 50.
And, you know, to sort of stay on the same topic, I'm lucky enough to know what I'm doing and have this podcast. So if I were to promote something, you know, I'd, you know, reach out to people who I knew followed big podcasts, enjoyed podcasts. But say I didn't have this podcast or I didn't have a t-shirt company, but I just knew that, you know, one day I was planning to have one, or I knew I'm making one, you know, would I still use the same strategy of, you know, interacting with people, you know, giving them those jabs and then hoping that in 2 years when my shoe company launches that they'll find me and convert and, you know, go and buy my product or go and download my podcast? Like, is it worth doing this sort of thing if I don't have a product yet?
Are you asking me if you should be building your social media or if you should try to get subscribers to your imaginary podcast or non-existent product?
Building your social media before
having a product, right?
Yes, before having a product. Yeah.
Yeah. So it wouldn't be the same strategy of getting your mission statement in and then having a deliberate ask towards like subscribe to my podcast, because that would be fucking retarded. I apologize if any of your listeners are retarded and that offends them. That was a joke. You can insert a courtesy laugh here, Mr. Serious Pants. you know, I wouldn't go be trying to get people to, it would be a different strategy. So the question isn't would I implement the same strategy to get people to like, you know, sign up for my podcast that doesn't exist, because that's, you know, inherently contradictory. But if the question is, should they start building their social media? Should they start building influence? Should they start making connections? The answer is absolutely motherfucking lutely. I don't care if you're 16 years old, which you are. I don't care if you're a sophomore in high school. If you have a direction, if you do not have a direction, you start building your empire now. And then you say, Ty, as the astute host that you are, but Josh, how do I start building my empire if I don't even know what I'm doing yet? I have a couple of ideas, and that's really easy. It all starts, because when you go to build an empire anyway, you don't set out to build an empire. You set out to do something really, really, really well, a thing. And then that thing parlays into another thing. And then you use the connections that you built during that process and the struggles and the failures and the assets and whatever to keep growing it and doing enough things right amongst all of your fuck ups that you're able to keep growing this thing, right? So you will get good at a lot of things by getting really fucking good at one thing at a time. And, you know, I heard a quote once that said, I can work every single day of the year except for 2 days. And that's yesterday and that's tomorrow. Meaning get present. And what can you be doing right now to be projecting yourself forward? And like I told you earlier, the purpose of life, the fundamental single most important element is you are either growing or you are dying. So right now, if you just commit to making yourself better, to wanting to be better, to develop skills, whether or not it's going to relate to your fucking empire. You know, I've had so many failures, to quote that speech again from Steve Jobs, you'll have good things happen to you and you'll have bad things happen to you, but you should never be so presumptuous or cavalier as to presume that you know which ones are which until long after the event is over, right? So things that I thought were failures ended up like serving the shit out of me when I went and launched my Amazon business and was like, holy crap. I was so pissed that all these people were selling my product online right after I freaking landed the Vitamin World account, which was like 1700 storefronts around the world with RevLabs products. And then these little shithead kids that are getting their you know, hands on my product are like selling it for cheaper than Vitamin World. And I'm like risking losing like $170,000 purchase order as an initial order. And I thought that was a huge failure, and Vitamin World was pissed. But you know what it led me into doing? Going and getting better on Amazon and beating those other sellers out and learning the rules and learning the mechanisms and taking the fucking courses and like motivating me, not because I wanted to be good at Amazon, but I just wanted to get these assholes out of here so I could go be good at retail sales. And now that business produces over $1 million a month of me running the branding and e-commerce for literally over 70 different brands. 427 products right now, right?
That's crazy.
You want to like build an empire, or should you do this, or should you build your social media? The answer is you should be committed to growth, and you should be around people that fire you the fuck up, that teach you shit, that support your dreams, that challenge your thought processes, that love you enough to tell you when you're being a fuck up, and are humble enough to fucking cheer for you and love you up when you're winning and when you're doing good things. And I think that should be your focus. And if that is your focus, the doingness of it, what should I do? I think the path will reveal itself. And dude, you just go start outflowing, and the market will respond and the world will respond. I think that social media empowers anything else we are doing. And dude, look at my fucking feed.
I just think, you know, it's so crazy how, you know, you can build this empire, you know, 3 years in advance. And now because of this, you know, social media world, in 8 years, when you decide to build some sort of supplement shoe business, you know, those original fans of your content will be able to convert, find you, and just, you know, people are so exposed in this social media age that it really, if you're giving out good content, true, like genuine content, you're always going to have fans. You're always going to have customers.
Dude, you know what you'll have? You will have like-minded people that are drawn to your authenticity. You know what I mean? Like if somebody says, like, I want to create a really, really huge do-it-yourself YouTube channel on home decor, how do I do that? Like, dude, I have fucking don't know shit about home decor, and for all of my like brilliant accolades and like strong personal qualities, you know, I'm good at like, I think God put all of my talents into like two or three categories, and everything else I'm fucking retarded at. Like I literally I've worked at this, you know, in within this the same block for, you know, my entire adult life, and I get lost. Because I'm so lost in thought, I will get lost driving my fucking car home from my office to my house, and it's a 12-minute drive.
I'm exactly the same way, man.
Like directionally, dude, literally until I was 15 years old, I used to have my brothers and my mom have to check my feet to make sure I was wearing two shoes that were matching each other. Like that's fucking retarded. That is crazy. Like don't talk to me about my handwriting. Like someone were to ask me about a home decor channel, now you're in my realm. Why? Because I know shit about home decor? No, but I would say, dude, outflow equals inflow. Yeah. And I would go find people that I want to be like, and I would fucking start producing. I would start moving, and I would make my message authentic in that. If you want to make a home decor channel and you're an expert, go start fucking speaking your truth. If you're a newbie and you want a huge home decor channel, you know what you should do? Start a home decor channel and start speaking your truth. And you know what your truth will be if you don't know all of the do's? Because, dude, there's so many things that I don't know about. So, like, who the fuck am I to, like, have a podcast and to, like, be teaching seminars or speaking on stage? It's not because I'm fucking so good at everything. It's not even because, I mean, I'm the best at any one thing. I'm, like, overall successful as a result of certain principles. But I've positioned myself such that when I know something, people fucking love it. When I don't know something, people fucking love it. Why? Because I'm not trying to fucking be something that I'm not. And a really magical thing happens when you get in line with yourself, when you get aligned and you are cool and your inner world matches your outer world and your actions are fucking conducive, something magical happens. Reality starts to come into agreement with you, regardless of what it is that you're deciding.
That's absolutely true. Yeah.
It's a seamless thing, man. Like when I got on here, I didn't know what the fuck I was going to talk about. But I said, what is our end result? What do we want to have? I said to you, I'm like, if this podcast is the perfect answer, what is the question? What do you want to solve? What do you want to contribute to your audience? And I shut the fuck up and I listened so that I could get my have clear, right? And I prodded and I poked until I challenged you enough that I was clear on it. And I caught up to you and like the vision, we were like in line with what we want to have together, right?
Yeah, exactly.
When my have became clear, my thought process was not on what do I do. My thought process is it's fucking game time and I have no idea how I'm about to do this, but I know two fucking things. A, I know what I'm going to have because I fucking said so and reality comes into agreement with me, not the other way around. And number two, I know that I'm coming from a place where I'm going to say my entire truth. I'm going to say my entire truth. And I'm not going to say anything I don't fucking mean. And I'm going to put my heart behind it. And when that happens, dude, the words just come to you. The answers fucking come to you. You know, so dude, what do you want to have? Why do you want to have it? And then outflow equals inflow. And when you get those three things in line, you're a freaking 16-year-old. I fucking wish I had a microphone and a platform to do what the fuck I was doing now. I was saying that when I was 25. Like, I wish I had this at 15 and I could sit there on fucking Tinder and get laid. Like, do you have any idea how fucking incredible that was? Like, my dad was making fun of me because I was text messaging because 8 years prior to that, they didn't fucking have it. And I'm not trying to be like, oh, I'm so old school. I think it's a beautiful fucking thing. You are now at a very young age without money, without direction, without whatever, get to start getting feedback from the most important source in the world. And it's not your parents and it's not school and it's not my voice preaching, although I do have a high opinion of myself. You know what that most important fucking feedback is? The market.
It starts and ends with the market.
So
that's just how it goes.
Like, you want to fucking be a gangster and you want to build an empire in life. The first step is not creating a product. The first step is not knowing where to start. The first step is not knowing what to do. The first step is saying, I'm fucking committed to growth and I'm going to start building a relationship with an audience and with a market. And I'm going to get really good at the process of, here's my random arbitrary Tuesday goal for this week. And I'm going to try to accomplish it. And I'm going to do good or I'm going to do bad or I'm going to do fucking hilariously, embarrassingly horrible. And no matter what I do, win, lose, fail, draw, tie, whatever the fuck, I'm going to be outflowing or doing something. And every time, regardless of the result, I'm going to learn from it. If I started doing that at 15 and not just talking to my fucking friends and like my enemies, but talking to like the market, holy fucking shit. Like, the opportunity that people have now, high schoolers, to start their building their empire right now, not even knowing what their empire is going to be. They're coming up in the best fucking country in the world, in the most connected time period in the history of humanity, with a fucking PR company in their pocket, with the ability, the capacity to reach hundreds of millions of people if they are good enough. I would start that journey now. Just as I transitioned my insurance into real estate and my real estate into a sports nutrition company that has nothing to fucking do with the first two companies, and a sports nutrition company into a social media following and social media following into an Amazon business that drives traffic, and an Amazon business into a consulting business, and a consulting business into an Inside Out Empowerment podcast that has landed me at this fucking moment to be able to talking to your very advanced 16-year-old ass. Are you getting what I'm saying? I don't even have to kick the punchline out. I'm landing the message that you're gifted and I'm gifted. And when you start living, eating, breathing, sleeping to that intention, is like waking the fuck up, being appreciative for what you have, and being infinitely dissatisfied with the shortcomings in the world around you, and being committed to helping improve those. And that's your have, that's your goal. Dude, you're due. Mark my words, you will start improving daily. And before long, people will be like, dude, how did you do that? And you'd be like, fuck, I don't know. The do wasn't part of my game plan. You know, some fucking crazy asshole told me at, 10:36 on a fucking school night a few days before my podcast launched to get clear on my end result, my have, to get clear on my internal world or my beingness, what the place I'm coming from, and the do handles itself. And I just fucking started learning and started doing. And honestly, bro, you are in a very, very advantageous, impressive position for being 16 with the way you communicate. And I didn't talk to you like you were a 16-year-old. I talked to you like you were a motherfucking human being, because you know what? You are. And just because you're 16 doesn't mean you're dumb or naive or whatever. And just because you're 16 doesn't mean that you're fucking really good either. You know, I just started asking questions and listening to the answers until I was able to get to a position with you where I am now sitting here wildly impressed with who you are, what you're up to, your mission in life. And if nothing else out of this, besides for a shout out from me, which will gain you your 50 fucking followers, you're welcome. You've gained a fan and a supporter in me and in this relationship. So I'm behind what you're doing. And believe it or not, having my horsepower in your corner is quite an asset for a 16-year-old.
Seems like it's going to be a very, very good advantage.
Anyway, I think that's a pretty fucking punchy place to end. I feel like I need to fucking go smoke a cigarette, even though I don't smoke, or have like get a freaking blowjob and a massage from my dear girlfriend. Follow her. Her name's Liz Vino on Instagram. And she's a fucking thug. She started her Instagram for Rev Labs too, and she's at 250,000, I think. She's my infrastructure behind all of the front end stuff that I do towards the public. Ironically, she's the backbone for all of the operations and financials for all three of my companies. That was a quick little plug, because I just realized I'm going to get in trouble for saying on the air in front of a bunch of fucking 16-year-olds that I want a blowjob from her. I love you, baby.
You know, as we close out, outflow equals inflow. You know, you have to have your end game and your why, before you have your do. And just there's only one more message that you could convey to the listeners of this podcast. What would that be?
Here's what I'll say, because I feel like it's a young listener base. Your whole not knowing what to do piece doesn't make you inexperienced, doesn't make you weaker, doesn't make you disempowered. It's actually a tremendous fucking gift. You are not burdened by the failures and shortcomings of life. You're not jaded by seeing the amount of ugliness from people that you will see, as well as a lot of the beauty, by the time you're 40. If I could pick a 15-year-old or a 55-year-old as a business partner, I would pick a 15-year-old. 9 times out of 10, obviously depending on what it is. But you have a tremendous gift in your lightness and your freedom and your willingness. So I'll steal what I said earlier from Steve Jobs, which is stay hungry and stay foolish. And dude, if you're ever waking up and don't have that fucking fire in your belly and aren't like, dude, I'm fucking jamming out this door and I'm going to create motherfucking magic today, because that's who I am. That is like, if it's in your inner world, and your deadline and your outcome and your have is clear, your do just fucking happens automatically. Like, you think you're not going to be a person that can enroll the fucking grocer to subscribe to your podcast? Like, you'll start making it a funny thing. It'll rub off on your friends where you're in like fucking catching a ride on the bus and your friends are like, hey, will you subscribe to my podcast? Hey, will you subscribe to your podcast? And it'll like, I'm just fucking telling you, dude, like you get those two pieces in line. And the very, very last message, and I want you to take this to heart. If the first one is stay hungry and stay foolish, and just fucking go for it and keep learning and keep fucking growing and be want to grow, because anything else that you want in life will be empowered as a result of that desire. It would be this: you're going to fail. That is predetermined. You're going to fail. You're going to fuck up. You're going to fall short when you set goals. Empowering, right?
Yeah.
But failure is guaranteed. The pain and the confusion and the stress that comes from falling short is a pain that you will experience no matter what, because you're either falling short as a result of not attempting it, or you're falling short because you try and fail. The difference is, if you try and fail, you have the opportunity to try again. And this will be the closing statement. Is note A, that life is going to hurt no matter what, and you're going to fail no matter what, because anyone that has succeeded has failed at a ton of fucking shit to get there. The path to success is not a straight line. It's jagged, and it's full of lawsuits and heartbreaks and divorces and family crises and a lot of questioning yourself and sleepless nights in your 20s to be able to fucking drive a sports car to work every day that you used to have on your wall when you were 15 and 16 years old, fucking a girl that is hotter than anybody that went to your high school. The underlying message, what I would tell myself at 16, is to have the courage to dream, the drive to do, and the faith that no matter how bad it hurts at times, to keep fucking going for it, because you are straight up indestructible if you choose. It doesn't mean that life isn't going to hurt, but if you just accept before doing it, before you're in pain, that you're going to experience some fucking failure. And then when that pain shows up, you allow yourself to feel that and keep going anyway, you will never break. Life's going to hurt if you try or you don't try. You're going to have anger and sadness and horniness and hunger and success and joy and fulfillment and disappointment and tremendous, tremendous gratitude and all these things in life, no matter what you're doing. So I'm just going to tell you and save you fucking 10, 20, 50 years of fucking trying and or doing it the wrong way. Swing for it. Don't be a guy that hits a single. I want you to swing and hit the motherfucking laces off the ball. And if you're going for a touchdown or a home run every single fucking time, you know, angel investors are right. One out of every 50 fucking investments. Venture capitalists are probably worse than that. But when they're right, they are so right that it makes up for a thousand wrong questions. So stay hungry, stay foolish, go for it. And I promise you, regardless of how much it feels like it in the moment, you're not going to break.
That's some really deep shit, but I mean it's so true. Thank you so much for being on this episode. I know it went a bit long and it's a bit late on a Sunday night, but you know, really, really, really thankful you were willing to come out at this time and record this with someone you met 2 days ago over Reddit.
Yeah, you know what? Look, I'm gonna say A, you're welcome, and B, I'm going to say thank you fucking sincerely from the bottom of my heart. Cause look, dude, I told you my purpose in life is elevating the consciousness of humanity, right? I want to help people get not what I'm telling them they should want. I want them to get what they want. And you reaching out and having the stones as a 16-year-old and a future iTunes best podcast, dude, I'm in like the top, I'm in the top 20 right now. I'm number one in UK and Canada in management and marketing for business, which is crazy. And I have like 5 episodes or 7 episodes or whatever out right now. I don't know how many of them have been released. I have like 20 that I've recorded. You have very, very bright things in your future, but the getting, you know, the receiving is in the giving, my dude. You think you're getting from me right now, but the reality is you've empowered me and given me a platform to be able to come on your soon to be show and help fulfill my purpose in life, which is to fucking rile up human beings. So you're the one that's giving. I appreciate the shit out of you, and I'm highly impressed with who you are and what you're up to. I want to acknowledge you for that.
Thank you so much, man. Been a great episode here.
Hey, speaking from first person experience, my dude, can you attest to the value of DMing?
I mean, it works. It fucking works.
2 days after, 3 days after you DM'd me, we're here.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, you swing and you miss and you miss a lot.
Oh yeah. But, yeah. You probably have 100 fucking nothings for every one of these that you get. Right.
But when you hit that one, just like with the angel investors, when you hit that one, it pays off, and it pays off big.
Fuck yeah, it does. I can hear it in your voice. I feel like you're smiling in your sentiment. So all of you Thai fans out there, you just watched a new relationship be formed, beautiful human beings. And I want you to learn from Thai, who's a fucking really badass example of what you young, soon to be multi fucking billionaire moguls and presidents and astronauts and all the other fucking 19 things I wanted to be when I was 16 years old, besides for just, you know, rich and buff. And I want you to connect with me, and I want you to support Ty on him having the courage to pursue what he wants to do in life, which is, he felt a problem of, there's, you know, a lot of how to videos and content out there that, you know, are not starting early enough, because they're starting with the do, and they're not speaking to helping people that are not even on the first do step yet, because they don't have the direction, or they don't have, you know, a crazy burning desire. You know, they just know they want more, and know they want to be an entrepreneur, even though they don't know what their thing is. Well, dude, I'm 31 years old and I still don't know what my thing is yet. You know what I mean? So reach out to Ty, connect with him, support his ass. I swear to God, if he doesn't have 50 fucking followers by the time I'm done with this episode, I'm coming to find all you selfish motherfuckers. Because remember what I said, the receiving is in the giving. So give to this person, because he's going to turn around and give back to the fucking universe, and you're going to receive as a result of it. That said, go follow Inside Out Empowerment, motherfuckers. Inside Out Empowerment is written and produced by me, Joshua Nussbaum. When it comes to all things editing, mixing, mastering, I have to give hats off. Resonant Recordings has been amazing to work with. If you have a podcast, or you're thinking about starting a podcast, I knew I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to say, didn't really know how I was going to go about putting it into podcast format, get it into an RSS feed, upload it to iTunes, all that stuff. And the owner of Resonate Recordings, Jacob, has really stepped up to the plate. Go ahead and mention Inside Out Empowerment when you talk to them, and you'll get your first episode mixed and mastered for free. If you guys are looking to level up your life and be entertained in the process, go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss my weekly podcast. I'm highly responsive. Please, I'm going to leave the show notes below, complete with all the ways you can connect with me on Instagram at RevLabsPrez, on YouTube at Joshua Nussbaum. This is here for you guys. Please reach out, connect, like, comment, subscribe, ask me questions, tag me. I'm here for you. Let's tailor this bad boy and live an empowered life. Talk soon. Just watch me now. Just watch me now.